The extended conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan have compelled the U.S. Armed Forces to use the National Guard and reserves in ways that were never intended under the all-volunteer military. The result is a growing problem in attracting new recruits to the Army's active and reserve forces. Military officials and members of Congress are looking for solutions, knowing that the viability of the volunteer Army is in jeopardy. NPR's Vicki O'Hara reports.
When the United States switched to an all-volunteer army, the country was still engaged in the Cold War. The military envisioned a massive call-up of its National Guard and reserves only in the event of war with the Soviet Union. Larry Korb, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress and a former Assistant Secretary of Defense under President Reagan, says that model worked fine during the Cold War, but now is outdated.
The rule of thumb used to be that unless it was an all-out war, you would only use the Guard and Reserve no more than about 1 year on active duty for every five or six. Now we have many, many units that have been on active duty close to 2 years. Some have been mobilized two or three times since September 11.
Thomas Hall, Assistant Secretary of Defense for Reserve Affairs, acknowledged as much during a Senate subcommittee hearing chaired by Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina.
We have erased the word weekend warrior. There's no such thing as a weekend warrior any longer.
I think that's been mentally erased by the country.
But military officials acknowledge that the expectations of the American people concerning the use of the reserve forces have not changed. They say Americans still tend to view the reserves as just that, although about one-third of U.S. forces serving in Iraq are members of the Army Guard and Reserves. General Peter Schoomaker, Army Chief of Staff, told a Washington audience recently that the nation cannot meet its current military obligations without assured access to the reserves.
And so that takes a paradigm shift and a change in expectations on terms of what the reserves are for. And if, in fact, we cannot make that shift, then the active force will have to be bigger.
Schoomaker says the Army is in the process of expanding its active force by 30,000 people, but that, he points out, takes time and money. The Army also is rebalancing its active and reserve forces, adding personnel in high-demand areas such as peacekeeping, prison administration, and civil affairs. Larry Korb says that process should have begun long ago.
In 1997, I was on a Defense Science Board panel, and we recommended that to them. And when this administration came in and they talked about transforming the military, they basically didn't do anything in the personnel area. And we now know that as early as September, October of 2001, they were talking about going to Iraq. And that's when they should have accelerated that, as well as increasing the size of the Army.
The Bush administration opposes a permanent increase in the size of the Army, in part because personnel costs in the form of pensions and medical care already are sky high. So the military and members of Congress are trying to make serving in the Army more attractive. They offer bonuses for signing up, bonuses for staying in, the promise of improved medical and survivor benefits. Nonetheless, some individuals in the Guard and Reserve still view repeated combat deployments as a betrayal. Larry Korb says the military does have a right to deploy the reserves repeatedly, but will pay a price for doing so.
The problem is by using them in this way, since it still is a volunteer military, since we have not had all-out mobilization, when their time to reenlist comes up, they will not reenlist, and active duty people will not join the Guard and Reserve.
Senior military officials say they do not want to return to a military draft. But both current and former military leaders warn that if something isn't done to relieve the pressure on the Guard and Reserves, the volunteer Army will not be sustainable. Vicki O'Hara, NPR News, Washington.